Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Everyone in this life is searching for answers for the meaning of life, the purpose of life, why we exist, why we're here, what is the great purpose for which we exist. And you have all the gurus on TV, you've had all of the great talk show hosts try to answer these questions and provide real answers. You know, it really comes down to something very simple. You were made for the glory of God, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. The fall has ripped you away and caused alienation from Him so that your life is now a mess and sin is ruining you. Sin is ultimately taking you to the grave and then ultimately to the judgment of God. The greatest question then for you comes down to, dear listener, and for me, have we heard the calls of God's answer to our sin and misery of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." The Lord is extending out His arms to this lost world and inviting sinners to take refuge in Him from the coming storm. That really does capture what we're studying today in the seventh plague of Exodus, as God sends a storm upon Egypt. A storm where He tests them. Will they listen to His calls, or will they harden their hearts and remain out in the field and face the storm? Dear listener, we don't want to face the storm. That's why we have Jesus. So thankful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. The website is agradio.org, agradio.org. Well, here is that message now from Exodus chapter 9, which I have titled The Perfect Storm. And I hope this turns your heart, your faith, your affections to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, all who are listening today, may be saved from the wrath to come. Well, as we come to the seventh plague this morning, and of course, seven being a very important number in Scripture, the Lord does something in that vein to really slow down our study of the plagues and give us an in-depth look into the meaning of them. That's what He's doing here. We're getting an in-depth look, a slowing down, if you will. That's why that section was so much longer than the others. And if I ask the question this morning, why is the Lord doing this? Why is the Lord continuing to keep this going? Maybe you're feeling like, let's go. You've been studying this for a long time. We'll never get done with Exodus. We'll get done. But you might stop and say, well, why? Why so long? Why did God think it best for you to inspire this and it be preached like this? Why? Well, you might say, well, we kind of know by now. We've got an answer. He's saving a people. That'd be a good answer. That would be a good answer. But this plague opens up even more for you. Why all of this so long and so dragged out? Why didn't God just do this quickly and pull them out? Why all the plagues? Well, you have that answer this morning. Clearly, it seems that Pharaoh has had enough himself, right? You saw that. You heard that. And yet at the end of the last plague, it ended with the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wasn't done yet. What was to be accomplished? We have that answered in the seventh plague. It's a plague that explains the reasoning for why God is doing what He is doing, and with the kind of display with which He is doing it, of power. And the simple answer that we find in light of this plague, further answering his deliverance of his people, is that God is making his name known in the earth. That is so plainly said here. This plague explains that. This plague explains what's happening in the earth at about this time. This plague is explaining what the other nations are about talking about at this time, which is really fascinating. God is displaying and showing his power in Pharaoh, that all the peoples of the earth might start asking the question, who is the God of Israel? Who is the God of Israel? Who is this God? We've never seen anyone like him. This is the purpose. That's the seventh plague. And God in this particular plague uses a storm to accomplish this great goal. We come to the final cycle of three here. So we've had the first two cycles, and now we come to the third cycle of three, and then the tenth plague, which is death. It always moves to death. And so then we see this. It moves to death when there's rebellion against him. But in this final cycle of plague, we come again early in the morning. God tells Moses to go out to Pharaoh and meet him. Verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. There it is again. Every time they need to come out to worship me. But then the Lord does something fascinating. He tells Moses, I want you, and keep in mind, he's saying this to Pharaoh. I want you to say something very specific to Pharaoh. I want you to inform him of something. I want you to deliver this message to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him, verse 14, everyone look carefully at it. For this time, I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people. That's not the best translation. I'm going to send, here it is, all of my plagues, all of them, into your heart. That's how it reads. Some of the older translations capture that. And on your servants and on your people. It's going into your heart, all of them. All of my plagues are coming right up on in there. That's scary stuff. I had to ponder that for a bit. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean that all the plagues are going right up on into his heart? Remember, Pharaoh was considered to be a god in Egypt. And remember, the great ruling principle, but was displayed, everyone knew this, Israel understood this, by the heart of Pharaoh. His heart was the center of society. His heart determined, they thought, power and rule. His heart in Egyptian religion was viewed as the source of Egypt's strength. His heart. We have this in writings. What did God mean? All my plagues are coming into your heart. All of them. All at once. Do you know how hard the human heart is? I have, as a pastor in my time, witnessed all different kinds of responses to the ministry of the word. All different kinds. The word the Lord has told us, it cuts. It cuts, and it cuts two ways. You know this. It's living and active, the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and joint, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word gets in there. God's word. It's how powerful it is. I've been amazed at the responses. Has the ministry penetrated to the heart? What are the different responses? You have an entire parable of a sower to explain it. There are some where I've stood back and I say, has the word of God yet penetrated the heart so as to break them? In other words, where's the spiritual life?
or do they come and sit and it remains hard? And then you see the responses of faith, and you see the responses of people when you see a real humility develop in people's hearts and lives, and they are so taken by the gospel. They are just taken by the gospel. They are so in awe that Christ could ever love them because they know what they are and what they've done. And then you see others that it just nothing. The heart. What happened to Pharaoh? I'm sending them all to his heart. I think we could maybe get at that when we ask the question, what happens when you see deep blows in this life? Plagues mean blow, giving blows. When you see things happen in life, we're all going along, we're busy with our lives, and we're doing something, and then some great tragedy happens. Our worlds come crashing down on us. Everything falls apart. How do you feel with what you saw last week? I was so disturbed. I mean, it really did get to the heart. How do you feel when you see a tsunami hit? How do you feel when the World Trade Center collapsed? There's only so much the heart can take, right? What do you feel when these things happen? It stops, and all of a sudden, there's a deep pondering that goes on. And you're taking it to heart. That's what we call it. We're taking it to heart. It's got in there. And it's caused a real pain to occur in the heart. I have seen strong men, proud, puffed up, as with the boils, their health gets hit, and all of a sudden they are completely humbled. There are certain things that break hard hearts. We know this. Such sadnesses or such hardships that the human heart can only take so much. And then what's the response to it? What's the response to it? Well, you either see one or two responses to it. People either further harden or they soften. Here's what I believe the Lord's saying. Did you catch verse 14? I am giving. Now, this is why we're studying Pharaoh. He's an exception to the norm. The Lord is using him as an exception to teach people something about the human heart. That's what Paul said in Romans 9. I am giving him the fullest blows of all my plagues right there to his heart. I'm going to strike that heart like nobody has ever been struck before. It will be the deepest blows that a human heart can take. This blow will cut deep. Now, all of you would say, well, he's done. I mean, he's just done, right? Anyone who has those kind of blows from God to the heart, plagues means blows, I'm sending them all. Now, in the last plague, you remember there was a little phrase that I really developed. No one could stand before Moses. Notice how this one begins. Moses, go stand before Pharaoh. But I want everyone to look at verse 16. There's a play on this word stand that, again, you don't pick up in your translations. For this reason, look at it. Our version says in verse 16, for this purpose I've raised you up. You know that because Paul cites it in Romans 9. For this purpose I've raised you up to show my power. The Hebrew here reads, for this purpose I have made you to stand. There it is. No one else could stand. God enabled Pharaoh to stand for a purpose. Here's what Moses wanted us to see. The heart is so incredibly hard. Pharaoh's been hardening. At the end of this one, he'll harden it himself. God is keeping him standing to show you the human heart. That is so important for us. There's no reason, there's no ability any human being could take all this. And in fact, everyone in the next plague is begging him, what are you doing? Stop this. We're going to be pummeled. And God says it in verse 15. By now, I could have put an end to this a long time ago, Pharaoh. Moses, you tell him. I could have put an end to this real quick. I could have sent severe pestilence. It would have been done right away. I could have wiped you out at any time, my friend. But I want something else to happen here. I want people to study your heart and history. I want people to know about Pharaoh and history. Everyone knew that Pharaoh believed his own heart was sovereign. Okay, keep that in mind. He had taken that role to himself. But you were so hard. I want everyone to know, but I have so much power over you that I sent all my plagues against your heart, and the only way you stood was because of me. When any human being by now would have caved and died. Paul was so moved by that in Romans 9. He says, for this, the scripture says to Pharaoh, quoting this, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he wills and he hardens whomever he wills. God says, I'm doing this to show my power. Now, did that happen? Yeah. God saves probably 2 million people out of there, and they travel through the wilderness, and they make it to the borders of the promised land, and remember what happened? Rahab, we have heard how the Lord, they're all talking about the Lord. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came up out of Egypt. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. It got to our heart. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is, listen to this, isn't this amazing? He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That's what people were saying in Canaan. Gibeonites said the same thing. The Philistines said the same thing. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of this God? This is the God who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Oh, they all knew about the Lord. Everyone knew about the God of the Hebrews. His name was spreading everywhere, his fame. I have heard more criticism in my life of God hardening the heart of Pharaoh, and because of that, nobody has seemed to understand why he did it. Why did he do it? I want my name known. Why did God want his name known? To be a teaching tool for everyone. One day Solomon built a temple. I want you to listen to the language of this. This is 1 Kings 8. When he built that temple, this was his prayer of dedication. Blessed be the God of Israel who spoke by his mouth to my father David, with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought up my people Israel out of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, same thing, who keep your covenant and your mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to his ways, whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may, here it is, fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country for your name, he heard about it. For they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple, here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you and do as do your people Israel. Why is he doing this? So that everyone would come. Everyone would hear. Solomon prayed that they would come hearing that name. This is how he was made famous in the earth. God wanted people to know the plague of their, did you catch that? Of their own hearts. And come to him and seek forgiveness that all nations might know his name. Plague of the heart. Did you see it last week? Man walks into a church and shoots it up. We stand back and say, oh, how could such evil reside in people? Because of the plague of hearts. It's everywhere. God has just restrained it. But if he lift hell's lid, you'd see this all the time. When Pharaoh's name would be mentioned in future generations, everyone knew what a fool this man was, the heart in his heart. What a fool Pharaoh was. What a fool Pharaoh was. Everyone talked about what a fool Pharaoh was to harden his heart against Yahweh. And it begged the question, what's my heart like to Yahweh? I don't want to receive plagues to my heart. Pharaoh's heart is hard. Look at God's power. Now, what happens at this point? As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, and you won't let them go. You continue so far to do this. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I'm causing very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. It was a known saying in Egypt that the Pharaoh in current office would accomplish something in Egypt as such as had never been known since the founding of Egypt. That's why you had a constant building project and greater and greater and greater and greater. They were addicted to growth that way. You tell him, I'm going to do something in Egypt he's never seen before, ever. I'm going to rain down on him, literally, I could have titled my sermon this, Great Balls of Fire. But you guys wouldn't have taken that very seriously. I'm going to light the ground up. Everything in the field's going to be lit on fire when these balls hit. It's like a cosmic gun shooting down hailfire on them. It's a perfect storm that's described here. Nobody had ever seen it in the history of the world like this. They had all sorts of gods of the sky. Shu was the god of the air and sky. Holder of the heavens was represented as a man with his arms holding the weather. Oh, you know a lot about Baal in history. God would have a showdown with him at Mount Carmel. Baal. Great Baal, they called him. The source of the winter rain storms, spring mist and summer dew which nourished the crops. Baal was known to be the one who was the rider on the clouds, which the Psalms pick up, by the way, in direct polemic against Baal. Most active during the storms, he was known as the Lord of heaven and earth. He was the god of thunderstorms, the most vigorous and aggressive of the gods, the one whom mortals most depended, they said, known as Most High Master, Conqueror of Warriors, Mightiest, Most High, Supreme, Powerful, Thunder. Moses, you go in there and you stretch out your rod toward heaven, and then you're going to watch something happen. Moses does it. And we read, the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. It was heavy. It keeps telling us heavy, heavy, heavy. Fires everywhere. The whole place is being lit up like Sodom. The Lord says, listen, you go tell him. Hail is going to fall on man and beast, but whoever, if you gather them from the field and bring them in, they'll be sheltered. Notice this. He who feared, verse 20, the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, these are the ones being saved. He who feared the word of the Lord gathered up his livestock and he fled into the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and livestock in the field. You realize the greatest issue for your life is whether you are hearing and fearing the word of the Lord when it's proclaimed to you. And not being critical, but receiving it as it is in truth, the gospel of Jesus to save you. Some will hear the word of the Lord and they'll run to Christ. Some are going to be really belligerent and stiffen their necks and not come in. And I think, why would you do that? Why?
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.